There are so many reasons of why an edible food part ends up in a bin. It depends on the operation. It depends what and how we are serving and what kind of restaurants or hotel or catering or event or other thing that we are running or where are we cooking. There are the multiple streams of why the food waste ends up in a bin. Well, the biggest reason that I believe is that because of the habits that we have and the lack of support for the chefs. So we are used to do things in a certain way that we've been taught to do them, or that we are doing it for the past 10 or 20 years or more. And then there is this lack of questioning those things, the lack of looking at things differently. Like, is this really the only right way? Is it truly the correct way of doing that? Should we really discard so much edible food, even though is that what brings us profit in the end? Like, is this really the right way? And I think this is where it needs to begin with the mindset that we have. When we look at the ingredients and start treating them with more respect and looking at how can we maximize the yield of every ingredient, how can we plan better, how can we create better standards, and how can we focus on the prevention of the food waste, not the reduction, but the prevention. What can we do in order to not create it later on? How can we set it as a new standard? These are the questions that we need to ask and we need to find answers for.
Welcome to the podcast From Farm to Fork by Total Control. My name is Ricardo Monagas and I will be your host. On this podcast, we will talk with leaders in the hospitality industry, managers in the municipalities institutions, investors, farmers, producers, and disruptors in the food sector. We will get to know their journeys, ways to be more sustainable, streamline their food inventory management, prevent food waste, and other important points in their day-to-day operations. Thanks for joining us, and let's get started.
Hi, everyone. Today, we are talking with Wojtek Weg. He is a zero-waste plant-based chef and the author of the book, The Food Waste Guide for Chef. So he has been working in the hospitality industry, or more specifically in restaurants, from bistros to Michelin stars restaurants, from England to Cambodia. So welcome, Wojtek. How are you?
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, that sounds good. So Wojtek, you are based in Slovakia, Bratislava at this point, right? So yeah, what is your journey to start working into the restaurant industry? If you can tell us a bit about your past on how, what inspired you to work into this industry?
Yeah, the journey's been long. You know, I studied as a chef. So I started there. I started very young. And so of course I started doing apprenticeships when I was like 18 or so. And once I found my way to the hotels and to the higher end restaurants, that's where it really started for me, where I saw that care about cooking, where I saw that intention of behind creating flavor and like putting good food on a plate and putting so much care into what is being done in the kitchen. And that would kind of pique my interest. And that's when I kind of started liking being in a kitchen and cooking for other people and providing hospitality. And that's where it all started for me.
Mm-hmm. Great. And how has been that experience that you have traveled to different parts of the world and work? What has you gotten from each of these experiences? If we can maybe select one or two or three of these locations that you have been part, what have you learned out of these experiences?
Well, I traveled a lot. I've worked in quite a few countries around the world. And you know, the biggest takeaway is always about the local culture, is that, yeah, people are the same, but at the same time are different, you know, and picking up on all those things of having different colleagues, you know, having so many different colleagues around the world, and the way you work, the way you approach your work, the way you use the ingredients, for example, the way you approach the hospitality and how you stand to all of those things are my personal biggest takeaways. Is what That is the thing that's helping me to understand the wide variety of the people that you can serve, basically, in a day of a restaurant, that you might have visitors and customers from all corners of the world, and what are their expectations and preferences, and basically who likes what and how everyone thinks. Is that traveling helped me to understand that part, basically.
Okay. And where it started, that, let's say, spark to work into plant-based cuisine, and also, of course, focusing into the prevention of food waste, since this is your current focus?
Well, that wasn't such a straightforward thing for me. There wasn't like a moment when it was like a snap and like, okay, now I'm a zero chef. You know, it was after, as I switched through quite a few kitchens, and then I just see that same thing everywhere when there is like a big black bin going to the bin at the end of the bin bag going to the bin at the end of the night. And all I saw was edible food that was purchased by money from the restaurant, you know. So it just like kind of got me thinking, like, you know, we are cooking food, we are buying it, we are selling it, we are expecting to make a profit from what we are doing. And then, yeah, we are wasting so much of raw product that we are not using in any way. Like, that kind of piqued my interest. And then coincidentally, I ended up in a restaurant where the head chef was really focused on using all those what we call byproducts and other parts of ingredients, not for the sake of reducing food waste, but for the sake of seeking more flavor and different textures and like different applications of those things that were used, and even nutritional value in many cases. And that's where I realized, like, if we can do that at such a high level where that restaurant was, and cooking with all those things and never even calling it zero waste, never even mentioning the word food waste in the kitchen, but doing it purely for the sake of flavor and for the culinary applications, then surely that can be replicated in other places as well. And that's where that was the place where it really started for me, when I said to myself, like, okay, like, if I ever open anything of my own, then I can't imagine that it would be anything else than a zero-waste restaurant. So where that focus would be on the food waste and also on the plant-based applications, because I learned so much and I saw so much from the head chef and from the mentors that I have worked with, of how they apply, how they work with vegetables and how they apply those culinary techniques on the vegetables as well, in the same way like you would on the meat, and what can be created on a plate. So that's where I decided that, like, this is a way to go for me. There is so much to explore in there. There is so much to question of what we are doing, the thinking about the habits and the standards that we have created in the industry, basically. Like, all of that can be questioned. And there is so many new things that can be created. And I just love it from that point. You know, I've been loving what I'm doing. I still find it interesting. I still believe there's a whole lot of things for me to learn about all types of applications and everything that can be done in the kitchen when we are looking at things from a different perspective.
Mm, yeah, got it. So if I see the passion you have into this when you are talking about that, so, well, maybe I will make an assumption that you love of working in the restaurant industry more because of this creativity part to create these dishes using all the parts of the raw materials. Is that correct? Or do you have other reasons why do you love the restaurant industry or working in a kitchen?
I certainly have many reasons why I love the restaurant industry and the hospitality industry in general. And to me, the biggest point is the hospitality itself, of serving other people and creating experiences for them. To me, the meal is never just really a meal with the purpose of filling up my stomach because I'm hungry, even though that might be the purpose of the customer, that's why he walked in the first place. But what can be created for him, even during the short lunch or even during a takeaway or during a fast food while ordering a dish, there is so many opportunities to create a memorable experience and to provide an upscale hospitality to each and every customer at that point. And this is what I love most about it, you know, cooking for the people and creating experiences for them. Of course, that creativity comes with it, because you want to create a dish or a meal and everything as good as possible, and to offer new experiences from new perspectives, basically, and the new flavor combinations and all of that. But that for me is just like a natural part of my work. Is what I'm doing. It just comes with it. I love all of that. And yeah, I mean, I enjoy cooking, and especially for other people.
Yeah, that sounds great. And of course, it's important. important to know that the chef which are cooking in the restaurant are there because they love it and they want to have a present a good experience to the guests, right? So yeah, I think I will deviate a bit about the passion in this stuff, but I think because you mentioned in your previous answer about that, yeah, at the end of the shift, during the night, there was this black bag with a lot of waste. So maybe we can go deeper into this. What are the main reasons of this food waste in a restaurant at the moment? Is mainly about the preparation of the food and then the remainings of when you are cooking, or there are other reasons that maybe are not that obvious?
There are so many reasons of why an edible food part ends up in a bin. It depends on the operation. It depends for what and how we are serving and what kind of restaurants or hotel or catering or events or other things that we are running or where are we cooking. There are the multiple streams of why the food waste ends up in a bin. Well, the biggest reason that I believe is that because of the habits that we have and the lack of support for the chefs. So we are used to do things in a certain way that we've been taught to do them, or that we are doing it for the past 10 or 20 years or more. And then there is this lack of questioning those things, the lack of looking at things differently. Like, is this really the only right way? Is it truly the correct way of doing that? Should we really discard so much edible food, even though is that what brings us profit in the end? Like, is this really the right way? And I think this is where it needs to begin with the mindset that we have. When we look at the ingredients and start treating them with more respect and looking at how can we maximize the yield of every ingredient, how can we plan better, how can we create better standards, and how can we focus on the prevention of the food waste, not the reduction, but the prevention. What can we do in order to not create it later on? How can we set it as a new standard? These are the questions that we need to ask and we need to find answers for. And those answers are going to be different for all kinds of operations and for how big you are and who you are serving, you know. But there are ways to apply the zero waste system in any operation, basically. It's never going to be about being completely zero, but it's about becoming as close as possible to the zero and doing what you can with what you have. And the opportunities are there for sure.
So this is where it comes into place, your book, right, or your guide, which is the Food Waste Guide for Chefs. So, yeah, can we go into why did you decide to make this guide? And, well, I am assuming the why based on your answers, of course, but, well, we can remark it. And also, yeah, what are the general points from your guide that can be applied maybe to all different type of operations? That I know it's difficult to generalize, but maybe there are some basic foundation that people needs to do, right?
Yeah, I mean, the book was, it's a result of many coincidences. I wrote it during the peak of pandemic, when I wanted to provide some sort of support and help to the chefs that I wasn't able to reach because of the pandemic. Let's put it that way. It didn't start with the idea of like, now I gotta write a book and now I gotta be an author. You know, like if you would tell me that like 10 years ago, I would laugh at you. Like, how could I write possibly a book? You know, like I don't know how to write a book. Well, it started with a few chapters, and then I put a couple other chapters in there, and then I put a few ideas and a few tips, and then I put it together, and then I ended up with 285 pages of a book. You know, so it all started one by one. I was just like writing down my ideas. I was writing down what I was doing previously, describing my experiences, describing what helped the other chefs that I have worked with before, and what is it that I cook and how I treat ingredients. And I put all those ideas together, and that resulted in a book. And that is something that is now read by thousands of chefs and managers around the world, and has helped countless chefs. It's a good way to kickstart all these changes. One book is never going to be the ultimate solution, but it's something to give you an idea and to, I don't know how to find the right words for it, but perhaps introduce a new mindset into what we are normally doing and question our habits. You know, and the biggest takeaway is, well, what I hear back, the feedback from chefs, is that it offers a different perspective on the food waste issue. It's not just this on the surface ideas of being creative and doing this and that, but it's also offering some particular tips of how to work with type of ingredients, how to treat all those byproducts, how to upcycle them, what is it that we can do better, how to implement a system in our kitchen, and what is it that could work for ourselves. It's, I should mention that it's definitely not a cooking book, a cookbook. There are a few recipes for examples, but it's not about how to cook. It's about how to think when we are cooking.
Mm-hmm. So if I imagine it, it's more like how to plan the purchasing list of ingredients and how to create the recipes to maximize the usage of all the ingredients. Is this correct?
How to build your menus, how to build your dishes, how to look at ingredients, how to stop discarding such amounts, how to stop trim the ingredients, how to implement. There's also touches on the subject of the plant-based cooking, a few chapters around that. And basically, and I describe my experience of what it was like for me to open a zero-waste restaurant and to run that. Plus, with practical tips of implementing that in your kitchen. But yeah.
Okay. And just as a part of the plant-based focus that you have, what was the main reason that you went into plant-based? Is about sustainability, or is about your personal health that you decided, or your point of view? So yeah, where did it start, the plant-based part as well?
Well, the plant-based idea started when I was opening my restaurant in Cambodia, because there never was an intention to open a vegan restaurant. There wasn't a plan. It's supposed to be zero waste, but not vegan. But since I was committed to only sourcing and using the 100% organic, local, highest quality ingredients, and I simply wasn't able to find 100% organic, local, high quality meat products or dairy or eggs. And being in Cambodia, being in Asia, the dairy products are not popular at all. So even finding a meat was impossible at that time. It could have changed in the meantime. But at that time, I was unable to find anything else than chicken eggs that would be organic. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, like it doesn't make sense for me to open a completely almost vegan restaurant and only have eggs on the menu from the animal products. I was like that doesn't make sense. Okay, let's just go full vegan, then and see what happens. You know, like it was interesting to say at least, because even the vegetable products and the other and fruits and etc. are fairly limited in there. So yeah, I did have to really open up my mind creatively in a much bigger way than I expected at the beginning. But since I was able to pull it off, then I just stick to that. I mean, I'm able to cook 100% vegan, 100% delicious and tasty, and without you feeling like there's anything missing. So then I just thought to myself, like, why changing that? I didn't feel the need anymore after that experience. I didn't feel the need to incorporate any meat products into my cooking again or any animal products at all. So I just stick to that. And there's been a lot of change recently for me, also in a matter of my personal health and etc. So I'm also committed to a vegan diet personally as well, which I wasn't before. I was still having a very occasional animal product a couple of times a year when there wasn't simply another option for me. But that's not the case anymore. I went 100% vegan in my personal life and in professional life as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so and how do you create the recipes from this restaurant, previous restaurant you were running? So it was completely new dishes, or you were trying to replicate meat recipes with meat, but in a vegan way, right? So if you can comment into this, how was your approach into this creativity or menu planning?
Never try to replicate meat with vegetables. Not that I go well. It's the vegetable is never going to be a meat.
Of course.
I like to treat the vegetables for what they are and treat them as they are something special. You know, like when you are cooking expensive Wagyu beef, you don't try to turn it into a carrot. And You know, you treat it for what it is. You use its own qualities for that product. And I use the same approach for every product that I work with, for every vegetable as well. I look at what are the qualities of this product and how can I highlight it on a plate and make the best of it. It doesn't mean that I'm not using spices and other ingredients and condiments that could end up reminding you of a meat flavor, but I'm never starting a dish development with the intention of recreating the flavor of a certain meat or a certain other products, you know.
Good.
While and I want to clarify that I'm not saying that this is something bad to do. It just wasn't my approach at the time.
Yeah.
I'm not criticizing anyone who does that. I mean, it's perfect. I love to see other plant-based products, but it just wasn't my approach at the restaurant because I was serving a 10-course tasting menu, and I really liked to highlight of what is the local product that we have here and how can we treat it in the best possible way to make sure it's the most delicious that it can be.
So you were treating it more like, you come to a restaurant and you are focusing into bringing the best taste. It doesn't matter if it was only plants or it contained meat. So at the end of the day, that's the most important thing, right? That the meal is delicious.
Well, very few vegans came to my restaurant. It was mostly meat eaters. At the end of the dinner, the feedback was that no one could ever guess it, that it was actually vegan, because it wasn't reminded actively about that. You didn't realize halfway through. It was fully satisfying, delicious menu. That there wasn't anything missing from that, and actually meat lovers loved it. So
good. And just wondering also from the health perspective as well, or what, let's say, typically the West is used to have in a dish, right? You have protein, you have maybe some vegetables and maybe some carbohydrates. So how was your thinking into that to create a good nutrition out of your dishes? Is there was this planet in some way? Or
when you cook plant-based, you don't need to worry about the nutrition, because you always gotta end up better than if you have steak, fries and a fried egg on your plate. Then you need to worry about the nutrition there. Then you are looking to add some vegetables to the plate. But when you're only cooking vegetables, then you almost always end up with a very nutritionally balanced dish. And sourcing plant proteins, which are far better for you, by the way, that's very easy to create a plate that is fully satisfying. And it's even easier when you are serving a 10-course tasting menu, because you have so many opportunities of incorporating those various nutritions across the different courses into the menu. So you don't need to nutritionally balance each and every single course on the menu. So that is one of the upsides that I had there. While I'm not saying that's it is just something that I did at the time, but I have never struggled with anything like that, and I certainly don't struggle with nutrition these days.
Yeah, I understand. So I will move a bit towards the zero waste part, or how to improve the kitchen operation. So, what were for you the main challenges that you have faced, or maybe that you have seen the other restaurants that you are collaborating with, or reading your book, or what are the main challenges that you see to achieve zero waste? Is only about this mindset that you mentioned, or there are other topics that people are getting blocked in the way?
Mindset is one of the biggest ones, is that we don't really like to accept that, because accepting something new or creating a new habit is inadvertently, it admits that you've been wrong in the past, for example, you know, and we just naturally don't like to do that, you know. So once we are able to overcome that point of when we are able to accept, like, okay, there are better ways to do things than I'm doing at the moment, then that is a good starting point. Then you can get there. Well, it's very important for the teams and for the restaurants to have a strong leadership in that and to see the purpose behind those actions. Because if you're only going to be relying on the individual chefs to drive change, then that's going to be very temporary and very not sustainable, because no one is going to be able to keep that up at that own pace when there is little support from the senior management. It's very important that the whole team, from the senior management to the juniors, is pulling in the same direction, and that there is a positive motivation used in the kitchen to actually implement those changes. And the most important thing is to make it easy for the chefs, is to not make them more busy, is to not give them more work, but to actually simplify their work and help them out and to help them implement. And then in the end, everyone wins, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you have any specific examples about how in one or two of the restaurants you have been collaborating with, like, what are these practical stuff that they are doing or changing, even coming from the managers, like, or using technological tools, or of course, or just changing some routine? So how do you feel, if you can give us one example into this?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, like even in the kitchens that don't have like a digital measurement, you can still like take the bin and dig through it, you know, and there's something that we didn't pass, we're just gonna dig through what's in the bin throughout the week. And then most of the kitchens or most of the places are about the same. And in those kitchens, most of the waste is around the same every day. So it's like fairly easy to focus on what creates the biggest stream of the food waste, you know. So once we look through that, and then we discuss with chefs of, look, like, this is how much we actually waste for absolutely no reason other than it's not being incorporated into the dishes that we are cooking on a daily basis. So what we can do about that? And then we created a couple of recipes together. We showed about how we can use that, or we held a workshop of how we can upcycle those products that you are wasting in your kitchen, or what is it that you can do with them to create delicious meals for them and incorporate it into your menus. So the zero waste, the reducing the food waise, becomes your standard mise en place on a daily basis. And once that's done, then all you need to do is you just need to write down those dishes of actually how you're going to use all those byproducts and how is it going to be reflected on the menu offering. And that is very important to just keep that up and to have everyone on board. But that, again, depending on the size of the business, that can be very easy. You know, if the, basically the smaller the company is, the easier that is to implement. But all of my work or everyone that has worked with has very similar, the story is very similar. You know, there comes a realization point of like, this is what we are doing and how we can do that. Then we look into like how we can actually change that. Whether we do it online, whether we do it in person, it doesn't really matter. We do something together. We create new ideas and new operational procedures. And then we provide support for them. So they can actually keep up the change over the long term. It is something that they can sustainably do over the long term and not just one off, not just a quick fix, but it's something that now they can look at the food waste prevention. And if that works for them, you know, then that is the point where the initiative from the chefs comes as well at their own, basically, you know, because when they see that, okay, this is actually working for me and doesn't take that much time away from me, then yeah, surely I'm happy to do that, you know, and that is an amazing starting point for the chefs. You know, they oftentimes the chefs are able to create far more than what they were initially interested in. You know, because they can see that okay, like this is something new and this is working. Like I never thought about that. That's amazing. So now, and then they are on their own and they are doing it.
Good. And let's say that we have some of our listeners are managers or head chef of a restaurant. So how? Yeah, what are the initial steps that they should take? Let's say everyone is on board into, yeah, this is the way to go. We should think more into reducing food waste or preventing food waste. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is the initial one, two, or three steps to move forward based on your experience at this point?
You need to realize that where your food waste comes from, that what creates the majority of the food waste. I always recommend to focus on what creates the majority of the food waste in the kitchen. What is the biggest stream or the biggest single product that creates the waste? So we don't end up playing around with a handful of waste here and there because that's easy to do. And then just being too busy not doing nothing, basically. But looking into actually the product or the stream or the application that creates the vast majority of the waste and how we can reduce that. What we can do about that. And that is the important thing. Sorry. And if we have that sorted, then we can look at what is the second biggest thing that creates the food waste. And then go there. And then reduce that. And then see what we can do about that. And it's always about trying one thing at a time and going step by step and starting small rather than overwhelming yourself with a lot of things at a time, because that usually doesn't last too long. You know, you realize like, okay, I'm too busy to do that and now I'm just not going to do anything. So it's better to do one thing or two things and start small, going step by step, seeing what works for you and what doesn't, and then go like that, rather than trying to go like zero waste overnight, you know, because that's not possible. But definitely looking into what's in your bin, realizing where the waste is coming from, and keeping up good communications in the team, to communicating that, okay, like, this is still our goal, even a week later, even a month later, even 3 months later, we are still talking about it, we still want to do it, we still want to get it done. But if we don't know how, then let's have a meeting, or like, let's remind everyone about it, like, this is our goal, this matters to us. And this essentially, it will reflect in the working culture as well between the chefs. Because now the food waste prevention is raised to a high priority. Now it's not just an optimal optional thing to do, but it's something that is embedded into our culture and that everyone is on board with that idea. And that's an important fact for the change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds great. So thanks for sharing those steps. Of course, and as you're mentioning, it's always about going progressively, improving step by step instead of just trying to solve the entire problem from day one, which is a challenge, right? So maybe this is a good time also to mention that you have this newsletter in LinkedIn called Kitchen Without a Bink, which that would be a dream. so people can read the newsletter and check it out. Which you have really interesting articles there.
Thank you. The newsletter has been going for some time. It became more popular than I would ever think, and I'm very grateful for it. And there is a lot of information there.
Mm-hmm. So you feel like the entire, or not the entire community, maybe, I don't know, right? But you believe that a lot of chefs have it into this topic at this stage, or
There is certainly a lot of interest in the food waste and the sustainability in general over the past few years. It's a very big topic in the industry, and everyone is looking into that. And I'm very happy to see that there is so many companies and individual chefs who are taking their own initiative. They're doing this on their own, and they're just starting with where they can, with what they have, basically, you know. And I see more and more restaurants incorporating those so-called byproducts into their menus. I see more and more restaurants being more mindful about what is being served, how it's being served, where they order the ingredients from, how is it being treated, how is it being presented, and all that. But I think that's very important, and it's certainly a right way to go. And I hope, and I do believe as well, that we will be seeing more of that in the coming years as well.
Mm. Do you think, what has changed from your perspective? It's just a global awareness into, of course, climate change or this topic, or it has changed also the, of course, there are regulations upcoming, at least in the European Union and maybe in the USA, of course. But what is your feeling into this change? And maybe if you have, what you have seen in the different countries that you have been collaborating with?
I think one of the drivers is certainly the financial side of the food waste production. Since running the business in this year has become, I feel like in many countries, it has become more difficult than ever. So it has been the right time for those companies to look into their business and to see actually how much money is in there. So it's certainly something that drives many businesses and many people to look at their food waste. But also the general environmental awareness and the general awareness about the climate change and that we could be doing better is something that many people are interested in. But I don't think that we are doing something that is like new, you know, like the zero waste is the natural system. It's more like we are coming back to our roots of cooking, of how things were done in many years ago. You know, if we speak to our grandmothers, then they can tell us that how they were cooking and nothing was going into the waste. Just something that we forgot over the past few decades in the pursuit of perfection on the plate and etc. But it's something that we are slowly coming back to, and I think it's the right thing to do. There is more and more of this going to be.
Yeah, something I was curious based on your previous answers as well is that, while reviewing the bean in a restaurant is because I am just coming back again to the reasons of the food waste. So is there any food waste coming because they have forgotten about something in the fridge and never use it at all? Or or something that has been packaged and for some reason they lost track and it has expired or anything like that. Is this some case that is happening, or is basically always when in the preparation time that the issue is happening?
It's not always the preparation time, but from my experience, I see that the spoilage of the ingredient is quite low in percentage. That because like chefs are quite good at tracking what they have in their fridge, at least speaking from my experience. But I don't see spoilage as a too big driver of the food waste, because we are able to store ingredients pretty good, and you know, like we know how much we have in house, and we don't just forget. Well, maybe someone, but it's not like a big thing. The biggest is, of course, either it's the preparation and then the portion control. We cook way more than we should, and especially it's the case for catering an event or doing too big portions on the plate, you know, and just generally overcooking, over-preparing. And then in terms of preparation, is the trimming. It seems to be endless in some kitchens. We just like to trim as much as we can until we are left with the 50% of the original product. And those two things are the biggest drivers from my experience.
Got it. And have you seen also problems between the, let's say, the transportation or the food chain, right? Like, let's say a supplier is bringing items that maybe already are past their dates, or some problem of quality into this. Do you think this is a common issue as well, or that maybe the communication between suppliers and the restaurant needs to improve somehow? Or yeah.
Well, if your supplier brings you things past date, then you should be changing your supplier. That's you know. And I don't have, luckily, I don't have experience with that I would get like past date items from the suppliers, thankfully. Well, I hope that's not something that's too big in this industry. I mean, that's common. It's like the basic thing.
Yeah.
To get me something. There's definitely massive losses in the food chain, especially starting from the farm. You know, there's so much agricultural waste that we don't realize, that we are not aware of. The amount of food that is being grown and never being even harvested, let alone transported to the restaurant or being sold, is massive. It's way more than what we create in the restaurant. So that would be one part that I would be certainly looking at, of how we can create a better relationship and more engagement with the farms that we are working with, and working with more directly with the farms, you know, to help out maximizing the produce that has been grown to actually harvest it and use it in the restaurants. And I think that this is something that chefs can do very much, that this is something that we can influence a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That planning or that relationship building with your local supplier is quite important. Maybe related to this topic as well is more what we have talked also about sustainability, right? So in your context, when you have been working, of course, with plant-based recipes, already is a huge change into, let's say, the topic of sustainability. But maybe talking about also of other restaurants using meat and or any dairy products and stuff like that. So, yeah, what are your recommendations for them towards, yeah, what are the topics that they should take care to be more sustainable? Yeah, maybe the one or two actions that you consider are maybe low-hanging fruits that they can start doing.
To me, the suggestion would be always to use what you already have in stock, you know, to not order any new fancy unusual products that you never worked with and start playing around that, but just to look what's in your fridge and what is it that you can use right now today, because you have a lot of vegetables in your fridge and you can do something with it. You know, you can do a lot with what you have, and of course, like the zero waste idea is it goes hand in hand with the sustainability. And the lowest hanging fruit is what's already in your fridge, and just using it in a different way. You know, that's something that's readily available to you in this very moment. That's something that you can just take, and I just feel that like in these year and age, it is so easy to create a great plant-based vegan dish. This is something that can be done fairly easily. It's not unusual like it was 30, 40 years ago. you know, so really just putting a bit more creativity on the plate and on the applications and see that what is our mindset when we are cooking with an expensive meat and what is our mindset when we're cooking with, I don't know, carrots and tomatoes, you know. And if we can take that and treat the ingredients in the same way, then that, I'm pretty sure that it's going to result into some good product.
Mm-hmm. And have you used any digital tool or any technology which have helped you into in some part of this process for you, or you always keep working into Excel files or paper and stuff like that?
Yeah, at the moment, what I'm using is digital products. If you don't mind promoting a different product, then there is a recipe creation product it's called Mies. It's called Mies. It's easily one of the best recipe management products for chefs that I've seen out. And it's something that I personally use as well. I haven't used back then when I had the restaurant. So I don't think it was existing or I wasn't aware at least. But that's the only digital product that I'm using right now, apart from my own products. And, you know, back when I had a restaurant, I wasn't big enough to be digitizing my processes. Well, it wasn't just simply required for me. But I see a lot of the digitization these days and these years in the industry. And it's definitely, if it's making a chef's job easier, then 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's anything that can offload the work from the chef's hands, it's helpful.
Yeah, I think, the chef work is a lot. It's like between planning, actually executing maybe some other admin tasks, right? Managing people. So yeah, it's a full round work, right?
Yeah.
So how to reduce the effort in certain areas that are automated, that's the best way to go. Maybe just referring to the product that you have mentioned. So can you spell it? Because I didn't, or if you know the website, feel free to tell it.
What I mean. Yeah, definitely. It's called Meez.
Uh-huh, okay.
And the website is getmeez.com.
Okay. Got it.
It's getmeez.com, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, it's a great tool, yeah.
So if I understood you well, you use it basically to plan the recipes and to plan what are the ingredients for those recipes and so on. Is that correct?
Yeah. It has many great functions. That's where I keep my recipes. It can scale the recipes, it can cost the recipes, it can do the measurements for you. It's a really good tool. It's certainly better than Excel. Mm.
Got it. What do you think, why it makes it better than Excel? And sorry if I'm asking too much questions about this product, because it sounds an interesting tool for restaurants to follow. Yeah.
I mean, Excel wasn't created for recipe creation, and the Mies was created for recipe creation.
For sure.
It's super easy to work. I don't know what's behind the software. I am not affiliated with them, and I'm not selling it. But it is a really great tool, and it really has a great and very easy functions for chefs and very easy user face. You know, so you put your recipes in. It remembers a lot of things. You can basically type it in any format, and it transforms it into recipe. And it can do the conversions, it can do the scaling, it can do the costing, it can do the yield calculations, it can do some other thing. And it's just very simple to use for the chefs. You know, it's an uncomplicated product. Well, I mean, in Excel and in any, you know, like other products, you need to be fiddling around the functions of the product itself, you know. But in that software, you just log in and it's right there in front of you, everything that you need. You know, you can share it, you can print it, you can do anything with it. And everything is in the same format.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. So is there any other tool that you maybe have seen in the market that people from the industry are using or maybe some problems that maybe you see, okay, yeah, that would be nice to solve this problem somehow? Or what are your feelings into digitalization? Yeah.
Digitalization, yeah, 100%. But I mean, in terms of food waste, I mean, go ahead with food waste measuring. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter which way, whether you use the software or not, whether you do it manually or not, or which company you go for. But I would certainly recommend to start measuring your food waste, because you need to get some baseline. You need to know and especially in the case, the bigger you are, the more you need it, because the harder it is to track it for you without the tracking system. So I 100% recommend measuring your food waste to find out where actually your food waste is coming from.
Good. And do you have any opinion or thoughts on the EU taxonomy and the measurement of CO2 emissions in the industry? Do you know about this? Or yeah, what is your feeling into this?
That's not really, it's not really, I think it's outside of my reach and of interest. I'll focus on what we can influence within the industry as chefs, but I think that is outside of my reach.
Got it. That's understandable. So thanks for that. So if we are talking about what has been in your reach, is something important, like, yeah, what dish has you been the most proud of based on your experience towards, if you can tell us a bit about maybe one recipe and what have you, that maybe it makes you proud. Maybe all of them make you proud, right? But you can select one maybe.
It's like when you have 5 kids, you don't have a favorite kid.
I understand.
Yeah. You know, so, hopefully, maybe some people do, but it's hard to say a favorite dish. You know, I don't have this, they are all like my creations. There is no favorite. What I enjoy cooking. But this is also not the right way to say it. It's not that I don't enjoy the other dishes to cook. But whereas a good example in this instance would be a dish that incorporates the multiple parts of the same product in different ways on the same plate. You know, for example, like one of the examples that we say, this is not, I'm not saying that this was my favorite dish, but I was giving an example from the menu that I had in Cambodia, is that I had a main course that was using all parts of cauliflower in different ways. There was a cauliflower puree, there was roasted cauliflower, there was a coleslaw made for the cauliflower leaves. I had pickled cauliflower stems, cured cauliflower stalks, and I had crispy cauliflower leaves. I think that's it. And there was like 7 or 8 different types of cauliflower in one plate, turned into basically a main dish. And that can be done with multiple other ingredients. I also had a dessert on the menu in Cambodia that was based on the watermelon. It was the same story again. You know, we had a marinated watermelon. We had watermelon juice, watermelon cider, candied watermelon rind, and we just finished it off with the basil oil, and that was like a cold dessert at the end of the tasting menu. And I think that these dishes really kind of push your creativity. Of like, if you kind of like force yourself, like, okay, like I have to create that one dish, not for the sake of even putting it on a menu or having to sell it, but just for the sake of being creative and to find out something new about how far you can push your creativity, basically. Then maybe like, you know, choose one ingredient and what can I do with it? If that's the only one ingredient that I have, can I actually cook a complete dish from that one ingredient? You know, that's an interesting challenge every time.
So you like puzzles more or less, right?
Yeah.
Good. If we can talk about, the future as well, like, how do you feel it needs to change the training of future chef to be more, to have this mindset? So, if let's say today you are hired as the director of one culinary school, what would be that maybe also a small change that you will start implemented for then? Is your 8 weeks online food waste training for chef, or what do you see as the initial step to change this?
It's very important for the culinary schools to be actually implementing those zero waste ideas or the food waste prevention ideas early on in their curriculum, because the earlier you show that to your students and to the young chefs, the better it is. Because I work with experienced chefs who've been in the industry for a long time, but this is not something that I should be doing I can be doing for a long time. You know, it's important at one point to come and talk to those young chefs and tell them about it. That's why this is how to start. And that is an important step for me, to not teach them wrong and then try to fix them, but to teach them right at the very early stage. And then they learn it right and they consider it their own standards. And that's where the habits are being created. And that is the new norm for them. So to implement anything, even the smallest ideas about, it doesn't have to be like how to go completely zero waste, but just about we can actually do more with that ingredient than we are doing now, and you can use more of it, and that's an important thing. And if that's included in the curriculum of the learning material, then that is already a great way to start. I work with schools in here, locally, mostly locally, but also in other countries as well. And I always love to work with the young chefs and the students to be able to influence the 16, 17-year-olds and to realize, like, okay, like, they have this exposure to this kind of content so early on, which I didn't have. So I hope that this is something that more schools will be doing in the coming years and the coming time.
Good. Have you measured in some way the impact in maybe with the customers that you have been collaborating with, maybe with your training or even with the book, maybe through a review? So is there anything that you are using to measure somehow? Of course, I know it's tricky. It's not that simple, right? Like, yeah, what is the impact that you have made? Because let's say if you are working with a hotel group, of course, 1% impact there is a huge number financially and also, of course, in saving.
Yeah.
How do you feel into this measurement? How do you keep this journey on that?
So the measurement is always done by a third party. Mm-hmm. It's done on site, and the customer is doing it at their own, or the client is doing it at their own. So I provide the training, but I don't have the measurement tools. Mm-hmm. This is the reason why I also don't really or I'm unable to promote of what the actual wastage was, since I haven't done the measurement personally. We haven't there. I can only rely on the data that have been collected by someone else, and that might or might not be accurate, which I can't speak about again because it wasn't done by me. So I'm not interested in providing the measurement. I'm very much happy if they can measure it at their own. I heard some crazy numbers in a feedback. There was a site that has apparently made an 80% reduction of the food waste, and the others made like it's mostly 40-50+% that we are able to do in a matter of few months. But I just want to highlight that the data is collected by clients and by the third party solutions, and it's not something that I measure personally on site. So it is something that I rely on currently. And I rely also on the direct feedback from the chefs and from their managers, of hearing back and having the support with them in the support calls and the meetings, of hearing back what is it that they have practically implemented and seeing the menu changes. And I do believe that those numbers have to be very close to what they are being reported to when I see the new recipe creations, the new dishes that they do, and how much they implemented, and what is it that the chefs are telling me actually that how much they have changed in their operational procedures in the kitchen. So I'm very positive, of course, about what we are doing and what is being done.
Good. And do you have any specific, let's say, percentage of the time that the chef or the staff of the kitchen should be allocating to this role of preventing food waste? Is there something that you have, like, what are your advice? Because of course, since as we talk, they are doing several different type of tasks, so how do you balance that with their current task, if you have any comment into this? Of course,
it's something that needs to be a part of our everyday job and every moment that we are doing. I wouldn't see it as a separate thing that, okay, now we're gonna focus on the food production. But it's something that it has to be part of what we are doing. What needs to happen first is that we need to be on board with this idea. So we need to actually know that what is it that we are looking for and what is it that we are about to do. So if you have some sort of training, or if you have gone through some content or whatever that you did, and now you are aware of what can be done in the kitchen and how you can practically implement it in your mise en place and in your dishes, and when you are actually doing those things in the kitchen, when you're actually in the kitchen working with the ingredients, writing your menu, doing the ordering and doing the work in the kitchen, is that's when you need to bring it up on your mind, like, oh, hold on, okay, like, maybe we can stop doing that and we can do something else now. Maybe we can try this, maybe we can try that. So it's never about like holding you up or like slowing you down or like making you more busy in the kitchen, but it's about changing the things that you are already doing. And allocating the time that you have allocated to current things at the moment, allocating that time to those food waste prevention ideas, to swap those things, to exchange it for something better, for a better procedures that you could be doing.
That sounds, of course, great. And if just as a last thing, two remarks for today. So, yeah, if you can tell us, how does it look, your A-week training for Chef? So if in the big picture, of course, what the people will get out of this training?
So the AT, the online training that I have, is a content focused on the human factor and the mindset. Mostly, it's not a cooking course. It's not going to tell you how to cook this and that. It's about how to create a change in our mindset, how to question our habits, and then how to practically implement all those ideas sustainably in our kitchen. It takes roughly 8 weeks to go through. It's no more than a 30-minute commitment a week for a chef to go through the content. And then I included tasks across the course, which is like a to-do list for chefs to see that what is it that they are doing, how they are doing with everything that they are learning, what they should be implementing, what to look at. And at the end of the 8 weeks, you should be arriving at the point where you have created new standard operating procedures for your kitchen, or at least have an idea or a draft for it to see what is the way forward. So I'm focusing on the long-term change of what is it that can be actually how to create a new standard and how to standardize the thing in the kitchen, rather than those quick fixes and the quick changes that you can do in the kitchen. There is full support coming with the training course to answer any questions that you have, and there is many things that can be done, a lot of customization, etc. But the focus of the training content is on the mindset and on how we are acting when we are cooking and how to think about that.
Yeah, that sounds good. Of course, as you said, mindset first, and that's one of the most important points. And yeah, everything will be solved after that. Where do you learn? Where is your training? If you focus on resources, books, or podcasts, or institutions that you follow, maybe. So, if you recommend, where are you getting your learning for the future? Because, of course, we always never stop learning, I assume.
You never stop learning, and I like to learn from other colleagues and from other peers in the industry, of seeing what they are doing. And it's not strictly an institution, but it's more a collection of ideas, people who are chefs who have the same mindset of reducing the food waste, which of them there are quite a few these days. It's not such a variety as it used to be. So I certainly like to see the ideas of other chefs as well, what is it that they are doing. And my biggest little learning or something that pushes me forward is when I look into my own bin. That's where I just look at what's in there, and I question why is it in there, what can be done with it. And that's something that pushes me forward, and that's something that like strikes up new ideas. You know, it's not essentially looking at what other people are doing, but it's looking at what is it that I'm doing, and what is it that I'm working with, and how far can I stretch that ingredient.
Okay, and can you mention one or two of these chefs that maybe come from top of your mind that also are working into this, if that's okay for you, of course?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, there is so many. I mean, of course, like the restaurant Silo in London, the Douglas McMaster is basically a grandfather of the zero waste cooking, and I do admire a lot Matthew Orlando from ex Anas in Copenhagen, who is now in Singapore with a new project. I don't know either of them personally, but I follow them online for a long time, and I have a lot of respect for what they are doing in the industry.
Good. So last remark for today. So is there something that maybe we haven't talked today that you would like to say in this remaining 1 minute, let's say, or highlight any part of this conversation that you believe, this is the last point people need to remember?
do what you can with what you have, and question everything.
Good. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. So how can people reach you out if they want to know more about your work or any other activities that you're doing?
You can find me on LinkedIn and Instagram under my name, Wojciech Weg, and I have a website called surplusfoodstudio.com, where you can find all the information about my work.
Okay. So thank you very much, Wojciech, for your time. And
thank you, Ricardo.
So all the best. And of course, bringing to zero waste the operations of kitchens all around the world is an important mission. And I hope that you continue doing this and are successful into this, right?
Yeah. Thank you for having me, Ricardo. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
See you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you very much for joining us. We hope you have enjoyed the episode and get to know important tips and lessons to apply soon in your own journey. Feel free to share with your friends and colleagues. Looking forward to seeing you next time.